I'm a little embarrassed by that, I tell you. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, let me give you this check back. All that things you said about me. But thank you. If some of you, hello, how you doing? It's good being back home again. I tell you. You know, I think about you and pray for you all the time. Every time I pray for a church, there are three of them in mind, St. Michael's, Holy Comfort of St. Cyprian, and of course, my church back in Wichita called Holy Savior, and you know a lot about that. You see, when Father was saying, giving that reading, Kenneth, you know the story. I guess you do if you can remember it. I said that MBP, my being proclaimed several years ago, let me put it that way. As we were going through this Matthew reading, what I began to think about is that this is something that a reading similar to the Luke reading a few weeks ago. Do y'all remember? But you remember one thing in there, that there'd be the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. You remember that one?
Yes.
Which reminds me of a story. Is that all right? Okay, then. You know I like stories. It's about this preacher in church. He was giving this, what do you call it, fire and brimstone sermon. And he was telling everybody, if you don't do this, then you're not going to go to heaven. You're going to go straight to where you know you don't want to go. And he said that when you get down there, and he was using the reading, he was saying there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. And, of course, there's the old man in front, elderly gentleman. He looked up at the preacher and said, well, what if you don't have any teeth? And without skipping a beat, the preacher said, well, when you get to heaven, new teeth will be provided because nothing is impossible with God. My brothers and sisters, tonight, nothing is impossible with God. And I want to talk to you about something that is always appears challenging to me. When I was here at Holy Comfort of St. Cyprian, definitely when I was at Holy Savior, and even now at St. Michael the Archangel, and that is setting up or the challenge of establishing and implementing what we call a Returning Catholics program. A Returning Catholic program. It is a daunting task. It is a most challenging task for all of us. Because it's not just enough to bring somebody back to church. It is making sure and following through that that individual will remain there in that church, which puts a great responsibility on all of us. And as we said in that reading, our foundation and our rock is Jesus Christ. And indeed, you all must be deeply embedded in Jesus Christ when you're doing this type of ministry. Developing a ministry to Catholics who have left is a challenging adventure, and it comes one of the most under the heading of evangelization. And I've dealt a lot in terms of evangelization every parish I've gone to, and I can tell you, in many instances, I have been successful. In most instances, we may have dealt with failure. But what you do when failure happens? Failure becomes an opportunity to do something else. You don't sit down. You don't get turned around. You don't walk the other way and say, hey, well, this is too hard. I don't want to do it. That's not what God wants us to act. He wants us to go out there, even in the midst of the storms, even in the midst of the difficult things, and do it. There's that rock that I told you that story many, many years ago that we had to keep on pushing. You know, when God tells us to push the rock, we go out and we push it. Let him move it. He only wants us to push it, okay? All right, and this is what we have to do when we're dealing with this whole subject of what we may call returning Catholics, lapsed Catholics, remembering Catholics, they're inactive Catholics. There are all kinds of titles for it. But the only title that I can like, that I think that is appropriate to this, is just call them Catholics. Catholics who may have left us. Catholics who have gone some other place, but not lapsed Catholics, although I'm going to be using it a lot, because everybody can refer to that term, okay? Now, there are plenty of programs out there, and you need to know what they are and where they are located. There are some in the Archdiocese of Washington. I know in dealing with the Archdiocese of Washington, last spring, we had the lighters on for us, for you. You remember that? Wednesday night. It was a new, well, the lighters on for us has been around for a little while. But there was another part that was included in there, which was called the Lenten Initiative, where you would go out and invite people who have left the church to come back for that Wednesday night reconciliation part. We found out that was fine, but there was a little bit more that needed to be added onto that. And what we tried to do was to take, give them cards, give me the names of people who are coming back so that we may contact them later on or during the week and talk with them and invite them to, let's say, the Easter celebration or what have you. But there, let me just mention a couple other programs. Landings. I don't know whether any of you heard about this. It is a program by the Paulist. And it's located, we have one branch, of course, located in Northern Virginia. There is the Return to Church program of St. Augustine in Washington, D.C. Okay? And sooner or later, there will be one that says Holy Conference of St. Cyprian, Washington, D.C. Okay? There's the Welcome Back program, which is nationwide. The Come and See program in the Diocese of Buffalo. There's Remembering Church from the North American form of the catechumenate. We all are familiar with this. And, of course, as I mentioned, the Lenten Initiative. But my brothers and sisters, let me begin with my story, okay? My story as a lapsed Catholic, a Catholic who stayed away from the church for at least 5 years. Most of you, now you don't know, I'm going to tell you, I'm a convert to Catholicism. I became a Catholic at the age of 14. I wanted to become a priest, and I knew absolutely nothing about the priesthood nor the Catholic Church. But something kept coming back in my dream about becoming a Catholic and becoming a priest. So I went through the process. At that time, it wasn't called RCIA. It was just called instructions. And so I went, not for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, but at least for 6 months. I dropped out, and then I came back. I became an ardent, devout Catholic. I went to Mass more than once a week. I went to confession almost weekly. Sometimes I found a couple of good spiritual advisors out there. And I maintained that even as I went through seminary, and of course ended up leaving seminary, then getting married. There's no connection between my getting married and leaving the seminary. I just want to make that point. Although when I was in the seminary, I met my wife. Okay, but God called me in another direction. Let me put it that way. All right? But as time began to go on, and I began to, you know, still the same fervor. But see, I'm a child of the 60s and 50s, so I got involved with a lot of civil rights activities and poverty program and did all of those good things. And one thing that concerned me was the absence of the church in many of those adventures. And I was disappointed in our Catholic church now. So I felt that if the church could not touch me at that level, then why should I be concerned about my devotion to the church and my commitment to it? So most of my involvement was with community organization and community groups, and I began to shift and shift and shift more and more away from the church. My children were growing up, And they were going. They were going to Catholic school. My wife was working even as a secretary in one of the Catholic schools. And I would take them to school, and I would take them to my wife to work, and I would take them to church on Sunday. And then, you know, even when we had First Communion and all of those good, the reception of that particular sacrament, I was there. And then one day my oldest daughter, her name is Stephanie, y'all know her, she made a statement to Kitty. She said, why does Daddy let us out and not come in? And my wife told me that. And I grumbled and mumbled about it. I would get in there one day. But then, you know, I would take them, and I always had that in my mind. But then one day, this priest, his name is Father Duzak. I'm giving you his name. He's a good man. Monsignor. He knew me, and he got in the car with me and said, I like your car, but you drive it around a block. Let me see how it is. So I drove him around the block. We got halfway around the block. He said, let me talk to you a little bit. I want you to come back to church. I see you every day, every week, bringing your children, doing all of the good things. But I want you to come back to church because I have something I want you to do for me. And I look at him, I say, well, Father, he said, now, you know, I just put that in you. And I think the next week I was back there. And I haven't stopped going yet. Most of you know that. He is the one who recommended me for the diaconate as well. So I was a lapsed Catholic. And I'm telling you this story because aren't we all, have we all been lapsed Catholics? Mm-hmm. Amen. Uh-huh. At some particular point in time in our life. How many of us have family members who are lapsed Catholics? How many of us have sons and daughters who have left? Oh, yes. Uh-huh. You all act like you're ashamed to say, uh-huh. I know better. Yes. All of us in some way or another been affected by this. We have people who have left the church, for whatever reason. Let me talk about the United States, and then I'm going to specifically talk about what we can do, okay? First of all, I'm going to throw some statistics at you. Uh-huh. In the United States, there are approximately 65 million Catholics. Don't you know that we are the largest denomination in this country? We're supposed to be a Protestant country? 65 million Catholics. And you know how many black Catholics there are? 3 to 4 million. You know, if we were black Catholics, we're the denomination, we'd be in the top three. You didn't know that, did you? Okay, you're going to pay for that. We're going to have a collection right after this, okay? All righty then. But there's another figure that is out there. The second largest religious denomination is what? Lapsed Catholics. 22 to 25 million of them. One third of our Catholic Church have Catholics who have left us. We can say that there are more lapsed Catholics than there are Baptists and Methodists who attend church. There are more lapsed Catholics who have gone into those churches and helped them to grow. Now, there are many lapsed Catholics. Let me go back then. Let me talk about it. Now, when I talk about lapsed Catholics, I'm not talking about Catholics who are sitting in the pews each Sunday who need evangelization. You know who they are. They're the quiet ones. They just sit there. What did he say? Is it all over? I'm not talking about those, although let me point out, unless they are practicing, they're going to be there with the rest of those lapsed Catholics that are out there. Evangelical churches There are 35 million of them in this country. At least 11 to 12 million of them are lapsed Catholics. That's where many of them are, but that's not where all of them are, because there's still around about 20 million left. You know, you know the churches, don't you? You have been to some of them yourselves, haven't you? Because some of them put on those nice little programs, okay? So they are there. Now, I'm going to say something to you. It may be pretty hard in terms of convincing some of them to come back. You see, these churches consist of first and second generation disaffected Catholics, one whom I want to tell you about because I just finished working with her and her fiancé. And you know, I've been doing marriage preparation. She went to Catholic school, graduated from Catholic University. She's only around about 25, 26 years old. And she said around about 10 years ago, she started going to, they call them non-denominational. The non-denominational denomination church, excuse me. All righty then. And I asked her why. You know, her fiancé is Catholic, and I had to get a dispensation for them because she had left the church. She said, I just got to the point, I just don't want to go become a Catholic anymore. You know, it's just one of those things, you know. I don't believe in the confession. I don't believe in this. And she went down a whole list of things. 16 years of Catholic education. All that catechesis. Oh, my goodness. Help us, Lord. Revive us again. Most of us who attended the National Black Catholic Congress gathering in Baltimore during the late 1990s, some of you went there. I know Kenneth was there. Remember the position paper that was submitted by the black bishops in the United States to the rest of the bishops? It addressed the issue of evangelization. And a number of young African Americans who were not drawn to the faith of their grandmothers and grandfathers, their forefathers, that is Christianity, but to Islam? Yes, they are getting a lot of the people from our community into their particular faith at a larger number than we are attracting them. But I'm not just talking about that particular instance in terms of evangelization. I'm talking about the many black Catholics who have also become Muslims. How many of us know them? How many of them are in our family? They're there, my brothers and sisters. They're there. But you know, there's some hope. Amongst young people who have lapsed, 67% say that the mass is boring. That's not encouraging. 40% say that the mass is a waste of time. Yet 49% believe in God, and 41% say that God listens to their prayers. And if he's listening to their prayers, then let us continue to pray for them so that God can answer them and try to get them back in the church. That's one thing. Holy Comfort, St. Cyprian, St. Michael's have lost a lot of folks to the church. RCIA. The experience is that within a 5-year period, people who have gone through the process, at least half of them, if that 50% have left. That's a true statistic. That's the reason why we try to extend Mr. Gorgi, and we try to do other programs to keep those folks into the church. I remember one time in Wichita, when before we really understood Mr. Gorgi, we ran about 10 new Catholics. Out of the 10, 4 of them went out the door, and we never seen them again. And that was at the Easter Vigil service. God help us in terms of this. But, you know, the statistics are there. The point of it is that we need to take the initiative in whatever way we can to be true evangelizers, not just on those who are unchurched, but those who are considered churched in our pews so that they won't get to this particular part, okay? And then we cannot be embarrassed about being evangelizers. Oh, I don't want to be that. That's Protestant. You know, that's the reason Evangel Temple got a whole lot of you Catholics in there. Uh-huh. One of my friends went to one of the churches last week. She said, I was just amazed. I walked in this door. I forgot which one she said, but it was a non-denominational denomination church. She walked in the door, and immediately someone said, are you visiting here for the first time? She said, oh, yes. Everybody ganged around her and welcomed her. They escorted her down front. They introduced her to everyone. She said before she left out of that church, she almost joined. And we have to see that because, let's face it, brothers and sisters, I mean, we Catholics are the most intimidating people in the world when it comes down to it. Then you shake your head all you want. You just make sure that you're not the ones doing the intimidating, okay? All righty, okay then. Can I get an amen, sister? Okay. All righty then. Who are they and why do they leave? Huh? Using certain terminology to describe who these Catholics are will help you know why they have left. Now, oh, I was going to use this, but you can write it down. Look, listen to me. I got a handout I'm going to give to you, but this is not in there, okay? First of all, they're the alienated Catholics. The alienated Catholics. It is one of the largest groups. Who has good handwriting? Come on up. Oh, my goodness. My principal. Okay, then. Oh, here it is. Mm-hmm. I like red. No. They won't be able to see red too well. Okay, blue. Okay. Alienated Catholics. Yes. That's number one. Because that's the largest group. Now, as I go through these, then think about the people who you know who may fit into any one of these categories. And some of them may fit into, you know, several of them, okay? The alienated Catholic is one of the largest groups, and they consist of persons who have been hurt by the church at some point in their lives. This hurt could be real or imagined. Okay? We know the story. I come from Holy Savior in Wichita, Kansas, which prior to Holy Savior, we had Saint Peter Claver Catholic Church. It was closed. What year was yours closed here, St. Cyprian? 1968, 67? Ours was closed too. One third went to other Catholic churches. Another third went to what? Not that particular one. The other third went to the new Holy Savior, and then another third just didn't go to church at all. Alienated Catholics, they didn't tell us that they were going to close the church. The testimony of many of them, they walked up there on a Sunday morning, there was a padlock on the door. I am hurt. And then there's our imagined hurts too. But to the people who have experienced them, they're real. You know, the pastor didn't speak to me this morning. You know that lady in the first aisle rolled her eyes at me? Every time I go and sit in that row, she rolls her eyes at me. That row doesn't belong to her. That pew belongs to all of us. Mm-hmm. So-and-so talked about my dress. Said my dress is too short or too long or whatever. I leave the rest of it alone. Yeah. Now, let's face it, folks, that at some particular point, they need to be reconciled, okay? And these are the kinds that you have to treat gingerly. How many of us know these people? Oh, my gosh. How many? Just raise your hands. Come on, folks. All righty, good, good. And then there are the anti-change dropout Catholics. The anti-change dropout Catholics. These were the ones who were committed and well-educated in the church and loved Vatican II and all the quietness. Yes, now many of them are moving on. We know that. But still, you know, at the same time, many of them are moving on. There's a new group that is younger that is coming in there. All right? Okay? And replacing. And they want to go back to those days. They felt that the church had let them down liturgically in the changes that have taken place and some of the process. All this stuff about all these new ministries, girl altar servers, lectors. Father knew how to do it. Let him do it again. All by himself. Those were the good old days, and many of them have left. Now, where have they gone? Many of them have gone to a Protestant church. They just stay home. They have stayed home, and maybe at some particular point of time they may come back, but there's a possibility of them coming back because you can work with them on this particular one. And then besides the one who is anti-change, there's the ones with too little change, Catholic. There's too little change. This group is about equal to the anti-change group. They are mainly young people who are disappointed in areas where they believe change need to have come earlier than what it is. And they come to church and they see the same old stuff. They're the ones who get up there and say everything is boring. The music is tough, awful. The sermons are bad. I'm sick and tired of listening to Father say that same sermon that he gave a year ago. Not you, Muncie. No, let me come on. No, no, that's one. Okay, then, please, don't think I'm talking about you. But that gives me an opportunity to bring in another story. And it's about this man, this preacher, and he recognized he was up there preaching week after week, and nobody was interested. They were tired of listening to him. And you know, and so he, after one of his homily, he came and he said, well, let me get the board of trustees in here, and we're going to talk about this. So he called the board of trustees in, and they sat down around the table. And he turned around to pastor, looked, and he saw one of the parishioners sitting there. He said, well, he's not a member of the board. And he said, what are you doing here? And he looked at the pastor and said, you know, I have never been so bored in all my life. And that's the reason I'm here. You didn't catch that one, but that's all right. I'll write it out later. Make sure they get a tape, okay? All righty. Okay, then. Okay, then. Too late, folks. Let me go to the next one. The never committed Catholics, often baptized as children, they received some religious training, but were never in a position to make an adult faith commitment. Okay? We have a lot who end up in the RCIA. They never finish the sacraments. Never finish the sacraments of initiation. 35, 40 years old. You know it. I know it too. And then besides that, there are the active, inactive Catholics. The active, inactive Catholics. Externally, they are very much a part of the church, but they feel an emptiness, a distance, and they yearn for more. They do not feel a part of what was going on and long for a faith that is more in tune with their family and community. They're there. Do we all understand the question? Am I right? You're grasping it all. Okay, then. Then there's the next group. The spiritual seekers Catholic. The spiritual seekers Catholics. far from leaving the practice of the faith because of a lack of concern over all those other issues that they bring, that are brought up, they left because they were not being fed in their faith community. They're not being fed. All right. And you've heard that a lot. And that's the reason why every Sunday you need those chicken wings around here so they can, you know. Okay, then. You know what I mean, Kenneth. Okay, then. Then there's the family tension dropout Catholics. The family tension dropout Catholics. All right? The family tension, you know. You know, that's mom and dad's stuff. I don't want to be a part of that. I got this new thing going on. You see, they left because, what? They want to begin a new life independent of their families and any associations that they had earlier, okay? They see the church as a part of their old existence, not something that is new that they want to know. Usually these are your young people. No, I'm getting ready to do it right now. These are the, you all are going to love this one. Amen. The weary dropout Catholics. They are the people who just plain tired of fighting battles in the church. And they're tired, they're leaving because they want to try a new church or a new world. They're just tired of, every time they go to church, they got to fight this group and fight that group and fight that particular person. Not a sense of community. We got a lot of tired people in our church. And the unfortunate part about our church, and this is the part about Christians, you know, we have a way of shooting our wounded. We do. We see people are hurting or what have you. I mean, you know what the response is. I don't need to tell you no more about that. How much more time do I have? Oops. Okay, then. What do we do? What do we do in terms of that? And this, I do have some sheets for you, and I can pass this out because I just felt that I couldn't give you all of my notes because you would have had 4 or 5 pages of it, and I want you to pay me for the paper. But I can give you 1 page, okay? It makes it a lot easier. Okay, now. All right. And I think this is the better part of it as well, okay? Amen. Reaching out to returning Catholics or lapsed Catholics, or just say, I am a Catholic, but this has happened. Many of them, when you go and you talk to them and you run into them, as I do at funerals and other liturgical events, and they haven't been to church, you know, I'm a Catholic. Oh, okay then, that's good. They identify themselves as Catholic. What church you go to? First Baptist. Okay? But they never get rid of their being a Catholic. So something is near and dear to them that we have to seize upon. Now, when we seize upon it, you got to be very careful because we as entrenched Catholics tend to be judgmental. Well, you better come on back. You know better than be over in that church. You're going to go to hell. You know that, don't you? All of us, we tend to be like that. Hey, look, I am too. I was dealing with this couple, as I was mentioning to you earlier, and I just wanted to take that lady and slap her. But, you know, because she was the aggressive one in terms of getting everything done in terms of the marriage. And the fella, he's just sitting down there like this. And she wanted this, and she wanted that, and I just wanted to say, you just shut up. Let him do the talking. You know, he's the one who needs to be making these arrangements, but you can't. You know, what is here and what I felt like doing, I mean, our emotions, you can't let that spill over because at all the time, you must appear to and show that you are a welcoming person who's willing to, you know, embrace anyone who's out there and forgiving and loving. And sometimes this is one of the difficulties in terms of those who are close to us, we have trouble trying to bring them back to church because we already condemned around about 25 times, and it's kind of hard to come back next week and say, you know, I just love for you to come back to church with me. Oh, yeah, you do? If I don't, what you going to do? Talk about me? Yes, I am. Okay, then. But let me go into this by saying, as you see there, reaching out to Catholics, returning to our model should be that of the Good Shepherd. Chapter 10 of John's Gospel. I am the Good Shepherd. A shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's what we're about. It's not Father Monsignor Pope's, it's not just his responsibility as a shepherd. Yes, he's the shepherd of all of us over here at Holy Comfort of St. Cyprian. But we are shepherds within our rights. We have been endowed by the Holy Spirit to reach out and through our evangelization, let's say, to proclaim the good news in season, out of season, wherever you are, and not be so harsh and critical. So the most important one that I see here is that personal invitation. What is it? But you left the church. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Would you like to talk about it? Tell me what happened. Listen. You hear a whole lot of stuff. Yeah. You know, 20 years ago, this is what happened. I went down on C Street, and I went up to the church, and the door was locked. And my family spent a lot of time building that church. And I'm hurt. They could have told us something. Well, you know, you got to move on, brother. You know, this has been 20 years ago. You lost it right then. You lost it. It's some of the things you have to allow the people to just let it out, okay? At some particular point, and it may not happen the first time. You come back. They tell me if you get somebody, something bad happens or something traumatic happens or what have you, if you get people to talk about it around about 5 or 6, 7 times, you see how psychiatrists do it? Yeah. Come back and tell me the story again, da-da-da. And by the 10th time, you're tired of telling the story. And you wonder, why in the heck, why am I paying this guy $20 or $200? I feel fine now. But that's the point. Even in terms of welcoming back people, with our words, our gestures, our body language, all of that has to show that we are concerned, that we listen, and that we are welcome. Would you like to talk about us? Maybe you can feel at home in the church again. We miss you. Oh, I love that one. We need you. That is what was said to me. And the priest said, you know, I really want you to come back. I need your help around the parish. Well, you know, okay. I came back. You don't know. You don't know what will work. But you have to try it. That's the point of going to the next one. You have to be that type of person who is an evangelizer. Oh, no. Let me go back to the last one. Why not come with me to church and we can go to brunch afterwards? You know, the reason I'm putting that one in is because I had one of my ladies from the RCIA to speak last Sunday at all of the masses. And she was a person who joined us over a year ago. But when we got to Easter Vigil, she said, no, I'm not ready. And I didn't put any pressure on her. And so now she admitted, she testified last Sunday, that she's ready now to go all the way through and receive the sacraments. And church gave her a big applause. But she said this is how she got interested in the church. She said someone told her, a friend who was Catholic, said, why don't you come to my church? And she said, well, Catholic church? She said, well, I've never been to Catholic church before. She said, come on in. We can sit in the back. And then after that, we can go to lunch together. She said, I remember that part about going to lunch together. And she said, I went there. And she said it was the most enjoyable experience. You don't know how God is going to touch anyone. And see, you are his instruments, okay? So allow, just make yourself, available to those persons and allow that Holy Spirit to come and do what the Holy Spirit can do best. Don't try to force it. You know how we are. We like to fix things, in particular when we got family members doing this. Okay, then. Now, become true evangelizers. Active, uninhibited members of the parish, young and old. Don't be afraid to say, I'm Catholic. Why don't you come over at Holy Comfort of St. Cyprian? We got a good preacher or preachers, including the deacons, as well as the priests. We got some good music, some of the best in the city, and the best in the country. Come on over. And the word is so powerful that when you walk out of there, you will be alive in Jesus Christ. You know, you got to sound good about it. You know, you need to come to church with me, you know. Our mass doesn't last that long. The only thing I do, get out in about 45 minutes, and then you go do whatever you want to do. Come on, folks. I fight that all the time in terms of another group of culture, you know. Why y'all got to preach so long? You know, we used to get out of mass at an hour. You got 168 hours in a week, and you tell me you can't give God at least 2 hours a week? Amen. You're supposed to give him 16. Let's say it, you know. Let them know of the joy of coming to church, that it is a celebration of life. Oh, gosh, not a funeral mass, Ross, okay? But be true. So don't be inhibited by that. Don't be inhibited about inviting people to your church and inviting them, tell your story. Tell your story. Your story may be something that will captivate that person and bring that person in. Okay? You don't know where people are. Last year, this young man was walking down the street. His name was Durain. He was walking up and down the street on Wayne Avenue. He said, I've been going past this church for so many years, and I saw this sign out there about becoming a Catholic. So he ran in there. We saw it and thought he was a bum. He had this, the young people wear all these hoes and all that kind of stuff. And I said, oh, gosh, officer assistant, he looked, and we had one of those things, you look out there and you see. And he looked at him and he said, oh, gosh. I said, no, you can't make any judgments. Let the man come in. Even if he is asking for things, let him come in. So we let him come in. He came in, he looked up, and he said, I saw your sign out there, and I've been coming past this church for many years. I wanted to become a Catholic. What can I do? And we invite him. Never missed an RCIA class at all. And he was initiated into the church in Easter and still attends and still participating. And you don't know. You don't know how God touches people. I swear you don't. I always like to say we like to stifle the Holy Spirit so many times. We're trying to control him so much. Oh, Lord knows. Jesus, help me, okay? So, opportunities in the parish. Opportunities where you can work and try to get. Now, some of these things you're not involved in. Baptism preparation. How many times, that we get people in baptism preparation who have not become fully initiated? Oh, I brought my cousin here. He's going to be the godfather. Okay, well, cousin, tell me, what church were you from? Oh, well, let me see. I was baptized. Ooh, what church were I baptized? When did you receive communion? Oh, no, I don't know. I said, wait a minute, what's going on here? And then you begin to ask questions. But then you say, okay, then what can I do? Be very careful with that. What can I do to help this person out and to get this person fully initiated? Fully initiated. Or, let's say, to get him active into the church again. And those are good opportunities to do that, so he can be a godparent, not only of this child, but of some of the other children that are there, that are going to come up in that family. Those are beautiful opportunities in terms of that. Then I have the next one is preparing for other sacraments. Oh, yes, confirmation sponsors, marriage preparation, First Communion, oh, my beautiful story. I was telling the story about First Communion and telling people, you know, that about fully being initiated and the requirements for being this and being that. And one lady afterwards who'd been coming to church for years came up to me and said, you know, can I talk with you about this? I don't know whether my marriage has ever been fully, have been blessed, validated. And she said, I can't remember that I did. I know that I went to the priest and he had me go through all the instructions, but we never went through it. But I remember one Sunday he invited all of us married couples up and blessed all of us, and I thought it was my marriage being blessed. And so I said, well, okay, let's go back and check everything. We found out that she wasn't. But she said, I want to be able to go to communion with my child, could receive First Communion and do it properly and right. Oh, yes. This was around about a month away from First Communion. Oh, yes. First Communion was on a Sunday. I convalidated that marriage on that Saturday night, in fact. So that woman it was one of the most joyful occasions she ever had to see it. And you see it in the people's face, okay? Okay, now let me continue. All right, Father, you should have gave me a whole lot of time here. Okay, then. Family gathering, that should be gatherings associated with the church. Opportunities, invite them to some of these things. Invite them to a pork chop dinner. Invite them here. Chicken wings. Okay, then, bring them in here. Okay, and carrots. Okay then. Understand this, that, you know, I always say before Jesus preached to them, you know, he always fed them first. And once they got their full stomach, he was able to tell them everything that they needed to be told. And then they were converted. No, it's actually true. Let's say when we do youth ministry, the first thing we talk about is building community and socializing. Then we move from there into some of the most the deeper meanings and terms of what you do with the youth ministry. You do the same thing with the adults. They are. And they may be adults, but in many other ways, you know, hey, look, we're just like children. Uh-huh. So, look, gather them. There are so many. You got a picnic coming up. You know, I like going over there to Holy Conference of St. Cyprian. They got all these parties going on. But the biggest party, too, that you can tell them about, you know, you think that's great. Just think about what's going on Sunday. All right. Sunday liturgies. And as I said, this is just, you know, inviting them to come out or seeing people who are sitting in the pews who, and this is going to be hard because you don't know all of the time who hasn't and who is, who's the lapse and who's what. But one thing you can do is a sign of welcome and sign of peace. And we always, you know, do a sign of peace at the beginning, don't we? You can always do that. Introduce yourself to you. Hello, my name is Deacon Ron, or Ron, what is your name? Welcome here, St. Michael, or Holy Comfort of St. Cyprian, the Holy Savior. Personable. Okay, then. Office staff. Yes, Kim, I'm sorry about that, honey. You know, you're different, honey. Okay, then. Welcoming staff. You got to be ministers of hospitality. Hello, this is Holy Comfort of St. Cyprian. Oh, well, hello. Oh, yes, how may I help you? Is there another way we can answer that can be a little bit more tender and welcoming and inviting? Okay. Or if Father's not available, he's not available. Is somebody else can help you? If not, what I can do is have him call you back at a certain time. There are always, you know how people are? If they turned off, only thing you have to do is look at them the wrong way and they're going to start all over again. And you know that with black people too. I tell you that. Sorry about that. I mean, that we are. You know how they are. Oh, gosh. Uh-huh. Okay, one thing that we have you to do Number 15 is have parishioners identify inactive family, friends, and neighbors. If you can't handle them, don't. Give it to the experts. There is an evangelization committee. There's a pastor and there's other staff person who can give it to them and have them say, you know, so-and-so hasn't been to church in 25 years or what have you, and see what they can do about it. That's the reason why when we get into it, really doing a remembering program, it is a matter of training the people you're going to have to do these type of things. You see, there are ways you can do it. For instance, invite them in like you have already a dinner for new members. You can, first of all, when you do a remembering, you have to have an informal setting. You can't come on in the mass and there's confession over there. No, that's not going to work. You got to bring them and say, have to tell their story, why they left. And, you'd be surprised at some of the things, as I mentioned earlier, that they may say. But the point here, this is one of the ways. At some particular point in their journey, yes, there's going to be reconciliation. But at some particular point, too, there may be, well, I never finished the sacraments. And then you have to steer them off to RCIA at a particular point. Now, I have finished the sacraments, and I've been away for 25 years. RCIA isn't the place for that. Okay? That means you have to come up with another process to deal with that particular group. RCIA is for those who are in the process of initiation, and that aspect in terms of conversion. The program and the aspects are totally different from dealing with Catholics who have left. And I know what the situation is because all of us have the problem with budget, resources, and money. And so when these people come back, sometimes we like to stick them into RCIA, and you got one group going this way, and you got another group going another way. And then when you get to the sacraments and the rite of all of the smaller rites, those persons who have been fully initiated can't participate in them. Oh, well, you can't go up there on Sunday, so you can't be a part of this, the dismissal. So there's another process that we have to come up with, okay? Here's some more. Use technology and local media. You're good at this, so I'm not going to go too much on that one. Tell them about your program. Program for Returning Catholics. Y'all come. You see, put it on there. And always the personal touch. Always the personal touch. Okay? This may, coming up with these things may be a way that we can change ourselves, which is evangelization. Okay? All righty then. Develop programs for returning Catholics, all in the spirit of Christian initiation, but not the RCIA process, unless they have not completed their sacraments of initiation. Remember that the process is more important than programs. All right? Well, you got to finish this at this time. You got to finish this at that time. No, I need for somebody to make me feel that I'm welcome. I need to feel comfortable, just like the young lady I mentioned to you. Gosh, she was so good last year in terms of our CIA. And when I turn around and say, now you want to go? We're going to do the rite of election? She said, no, I don't. No, I don't. I'm not ready. I am not ready. I need to grow a little bit more. That was not. I respected her. And she made a point of that when she made a presentation. I respected them for respecting me where I was. And so now I have her helping me in terms of RCIA. I'll be honest with you. Okay. But when developing a program, use some of the elements from the RCIA, okay? In terms of that, including ritual. Rituals. At some particular point in time, you can have some type of welcoming celebration. Uh-huh. All right. Are you all with me? Check those programs under the USCCB. I mentioned some of them at the beginning, but they're there, okay? All righty then. I'm sorry, folks. I didn't mean it takes so long. Any questions? Any questions? You want to pass the basket? Okay. Any questions? Okay. Uh-huh. Anything you want to add? And for those who said they, I don't know why I mentioned this in the beginning. Katie, my wife, she had to handle RCIA tonight, okay? So that's the reason why she couldn't come. So she sends her best, and she misses all of you. And indeed, she would love to be here. If there aren't any questions, thank you very much for allowing me to come. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.